This is Power Players with Dan Clark.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Power Players with Dan Clark. I know I've said this so many times, but today I really mean it. Strap in, it's going to be one of the most insightful interviews you have ever heard in any of my episodes. A quick and dear friend, Laban, what a cool name. I think it's Australian for stud muffin hunk of burning love. And his last name, Ditchburn, you figure out what that means to you, is one of the most intriguing individuals I've ever met. As you know, I played football for all those years, 13 years. I was paralyzed for 14 months. And I had so many people come up to me. I know they loved me. I know they cared. Family members, colleagues, teammates, coaches. I know they came up to me out of concern and said, Clark, I know what you're going through. No, they didn't. They had no freaking clue. And isn't it wonderful when we can finally find those unique individuals in our world who have been where we've been, who know what we're going through, who have walked through the valley of the shadow of death and they feared no evil because they knew they had a support system from every aspect of our lives, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, and financial, and family, to inspire us to get back up and go again. So in my experience in understanding the steps of resiliency, I'm always intrigued and immediately drawn to people who have a story of adapting to change, of resiliency, of figuring out their why and making sure their why is bigger than their why not. And that's my guest today. And usually when it's a dear friend, I can just off the cuff tell you why I have him or her on my podcast. But I want to give you an official paragraph or two paragraphs about Laban Ditchburn so you get a feel for what we're going to talk about on this episode. This is a podcast interview with world's best courage coach, Laban Ditchburn. Welcome to Power Players with Dan Clark, former athlete, Hall of Fame speaker, New York Times bestselling author, and high performance coach, where each week I bring you an inspiring message from an extraordinary human being who will share their secrets on how you can tap into your personal power and become everything you were born to be. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. In this episode, my friend and colleague, Laban Ditchburn, the world's best courage coach and author of the internationally acclaimed book, Bet on You, shares his life as a child badly affected by divorce and dysfunction, who sought validation and escapism in all the wrong places, alcohol, gambling, sex, drugs, and negative self-talk, giving us an inside glimpse into his recovery through self-discovery, and by not being afraid to ask for help, he conquered the full gamut of addictions. Today, Laban defines the word transformation. 6 years free of addiction, and now having reshaped his body by swapping 60 pounds of body fat with 30 pounds of powerful muscle and bone, hunk a bunk a burning love, he discovered a simple cure for his incurable autoimmune disease in the process. Please welcome to my program the one and only Australian, so pay attention because he doesn't speak clear English, my buddy, Laban Ditchburn.
I've got the power.
I don't know who you're talking about, but he sounds like someone I want to meet.
Of course, we all want to meet you. Let's cut right to the chase, brother, and we'll have episode two to dive deeper into what you've discovered from a medical, biological, physiological perspective that turns medicine and health and wellness and fitness upside down. Let's just cut right to how did you grow up? And I briefly touched on a childhood of dysfunction, and there's so many people out there who have that experience, but your recovery, your resiliency is different. And that's where I want to take this conversation. Give us a brief snapshot of growing up and then how you fell into looking for love in all the wrong places.
Dan, I got to say, I'm almost emotional to the point of tears hearing that back. I've never heard it in such a wonderful, complimentary manner, and I want to acknowledge and thank you for just being masterclass. I'm from New Zealand originally. I'm half and half. So if people are going, hey, he doesn't sound like Steve Irwin, it's because I'm half and half. Mum's a New Zealander, dad's an Australian, and my father's a retired radio announcer, and he got a job opportunity in Christchurch, New Zealand, where he went as a young man, as a 25-year-old, and my mother, who already had a child from a previous marriage, rang up the radio station one night and requested You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate, and they struck up a relationship and moved in together 6 weeks later, and, you know, a year or so later, I came into the world. They were two people, Dan, that did the best they could with the tools that they had available, but they were ill-equipped to esteem themselves, let alone their children. And this will resonate with a lot of people, right? And don't get me wrong, I've forgiven them, and I'm grateful for all the other great stuff. But what we inherit is a legacy of dysfunction, and it was an inability to set clear boundaries. It was codependent behaviors, you know, a litany of dysfunction that's been brought forth. And if you look at how mum and dad were raised, my father was the child of a loveless marriage, one of four. That whole family is incredibly dysfunctional as a result. My mother was the child, one of four, of an alcoholic father who never touched a drop of booze until he came back from World War II and opened up a quickie mart or a little mart, grocery mart, and started drinking with his clients in his late 30s, and was horrendously verbally, emotionally, and possibly more abusive. And so my father, as a result, grew up a weak man, and he attracted a domineering woman. And so if you can imagine the shitstorm that then ensued, if you need to beep that out, feel free, that was what happened. And the way to cope as a kid is escapism. And so it was, for me when I was young, it was video games and TV, and I would immerse myself in this stuff, right? And then as I got older, it became alcohol and drugs and gambling and philandering and lying and telling myself I couldn't do anything. And so there we got to the point where I was just in so much pain that I couldn't be in that pain anymore, and the pain of the future was less than what I was in, and hence started the transformation.
So you brought up a deep question, pleasure versus pain. And when we're in pain, you know, from a suicidal perspective, and remember, I hit what I thought was rock bottom. We'll talk about that, when I was paralyzed because my heart was broken. My dreams were shattered. I could no longer pursue that dream of being a professional football and baseball player. And when you have suicidal thoughts, you don't want to die. You just want the pain to go away. So if your pain's real, what you're saying is we usually find a way to medicate or to create some sort of false counterfeit happiness, and that's something that all of us can relate to, I believe, at some degree. We've heard from therapist after psychologist after psychologist, be present in the moment. But what if your presence sucks? Then you medicate, or you live in the past, which causes depression and regret, or you live in the future, which causes worry, stress, and anxiety. And we know that's true, but making that shift and allowing the pain to make you better, realizing that pain is a signal to grow, not to suffer. Once you learn the lesson the pain is teaching you, the pain goes away. So in life, there's no mistakes, only lessons. Those are all the mindset shifts. But what you bring to the table, friend, is the answer to how do you make that shift? Because the amazing part of your recovery story from all of these addictions is you didn't really go through any official 12-step program. As I read your book, Bet on You, at some point you basically just said, I hurt, I've hit the bottom of what you thought was the bottom, And now it's time to make a shift. So teach us how you did that as a unique individual, because everybody knows that it's okay to reach out and seek help, and that's one of your platforms. It's not a sign of weakness for a real man, especially, to seek help. That's a sign of strength. But teach us what happened which allowed you to allow the sickness to make you well.
Well, let's quote our dear friend Les Brown. He says, ask for help, not so that you appear weak, but so that you can remain strong and keep asking for help until you get it. And the benefit of that is the more help I've learned to receive, the more help I can give other people, just as a side note, right? So my point at rock bottom, Dan, I was sitting at home. It was a Tuesday night. I had about three bottles of appropriately priced Pinot Noir coursing its way through my vein and pounding into my poor old liver. And I was betting on a horse race just on the laptop. I wasn't even looking at the race on a TV screen. And I was just refreshing the page to see whether to see the results come in. Like you're talking next level degeneracy here, right? And in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, there was a phone number that I had never, ever seen before. But I instinctively picked up my cell phone and I called this number. And this woman picked up the phone, and I'll never know her last name, Dan, but I'll call it Magdalene because her first name was Mary. And I believe she's one of about a million guardian angels I've got looking after me. And for the first time in my entire life, it seemed, I was able to share what was truly going on without judgment. And I think that's really important here. She just allowed me to unload. And once she got to the point where she was about to break, I stopped. And then she spoke. And she spoke about the link between suicide rates in gamblers being far higher than all the other addictive behaviors because of how quickly you can lose it, right? And that scared the pants off me, metaphorically, of course. And so she put me in touch with the Salvation Army, God bless them, which was funded by the taxes from gambling losses, ironically. So for the first time in my life, I actually got a return on my investments, right? And I had a session with this lady, Lee, who I got access to for a year and a half for free, right, once a week for nothing. And I would love an opportunity to reconnect with Lee to show her how far I've come. I'm getting a little bit emotional thinking about it. But the very first session together, she spoke to me about the link between coping mechanisms and escapism behavior. And I shared one thing about my mother and completely exploded into tears. And I cried a lot in those sessions. It was a healing emotional release. And there's hormones in those kind of tears that help calm us down, that help heal us. And so that started this journey of discovery for me, Dan, and I became insatiable at wanting to understand what had happened to me so that I could then reverse engineer it. And so to your point regarding not using 12-step, and you've got to use whatever weapon, tool, armory that you need to use to get over this. But because I was able to understand why I was doing it, it allowed me to heal in a way that I don't meet many people that have experienced that. Because I don't have any desire to escape in the way anymore. It's easy for me. I got married this year in Las Vegas, and we stayed at the Virgin Active Hotel there. You know, there's downstairs, there's gambling and complimentary drinks. It's not an issue for me. I'm not in a state of willpower, which is, I think, makes me very dangerous in terms of my recovery in a good way. 6 years I've been sober, just longer.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And to bring your beloved Anna, Anya, Anya, all three pronunciations into this conversation, she taught me in the brief time that we first met that as I said earlier, pain is a signal to grow, not to suffer. So the gambling actually became your teacher. The Virgin Hotel, which I've stayed at, became your teacher. You went to Vegas as a couple in love, enamored with your connection, spiritual and physical connection, and allowed that ceremony to be your teacher. In my conversation with Anya, anything that anyone has said to me that was negative or aroused some sort of a chemical reaction that I think the guy's an idiot or a jerk, she immediately said, oh, Dan, he is now your teacher. So again, I'm just reiterating that pain is our teacher, that anyone listening to this episode, tune in right now for the rest of this conversation with Laban and let him be our teacher in what you did not mind over matter, but in the sense a deeper mind over matter where you allowed your mindset to shift and then the behavior change followed, correct?
Amen, brother. There's two points I want to make.
So you don't run from pain. You know, you don't run from the storm, the rain. You figure out a way to dance in the rain.
To quote Sterling Hawkins, who's a mutual friend of Waldo Waldman, you've got to hunt discomfort, or discomfort's going to hunt you.
I like it.
And the two things I'd say is, on the surface of it, Dan, my goodness, I had it all together. I held down a job. I was always on time. I appeased my boss, got on with my colleagues, paid my taxes, you know, was part of sporting clubs, was involved in mentoring roles. Like, on the surface of it, you know, I posted happy birthday on people's Facebook pages. I was a functional, high-functioning member of society. But beneath it all, man, I was falling a bit, and I see this a lot now. I put everything on surface. It's fantastic, right? And then it's built on a house of sand. And the second point I'd make is that once you can learn about this stuff and you understand that this can become your own superpower, your gift, because how inspiring can I now be to people that are 6 years and 3 weeks behind where I was, all right, and not be ashamed that they are about to lose their family or that they're about to lose their kids or whatever state. There's no judgment from me. We're all on our own path. And when you know that you can become an inspiring person that now receives messages like you would from all around the world, people that read the book you never even met, never will meet, saying what you wrote changed my life, you saved my marriage, you saved my life, you stopped me from taking my own life. That is what life is all about. That is the fulfillment. That's the thing that people are looking for when they're striving up the corporate ladder. It's all wrong. It's not about the money and the title. It's fulfillment, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. So what's the name of your podcast?
Become Your Own Superhero.
And you have, to date, over 150 episodes with some very illustrious guests. I'm trying to suck up, so he invites me to be a guest.
He's already been invited, folks.
But I believe in the law of attraction. We don't attract who we want. We attract who we are. And so as I look through your list of guests and you look through my list of guests, I think that's why we talk about the things we talk about, because we feel called to serve, called to heal, called to do whatever we possibly can to lift up humanity, to lift up those who are having a trouble right now helping themselves. So continue with your story. This is amazing.
Well, I said there's two things, and I said the first one, and there was another one. There's actually a third thing that underpinned all this, right? I mean, you kind of touched on it at the beginning, is that physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I was in a place of hyper stress, cortisol, like everything was completely out of alignment. But you talked about this incurable autoimmune disease, and I had a condition called GERD, which is short for gastrointestinal reflux disorder. And what it is, it's chronic heartburn, right? I got it when I was 19. And for 17 years, I had this incurable disease where the doctors would say, there's nothing you can do about it. Take this medication, which is perfectly safe and healthy. And then in 2016, Dan, I watched one podcast on the Joe Rogan Experience with the guy, Dr. Chris Kresse, who's a functional medicine guy, who spoke about the link between GERD, reflux, and heartburn, and gluten intolerance. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's me. Well, 4 days later, I'm off 17 years of medication, right, by cutting bread and pasta and pastries out of my diet, right? And I was like, I was pissed. I was like, what else are these mother flippers wrong about? And so I went down this rabbit hole, man. I was like, I want to find out the truth. And that's my whole point of being on this planet. I just want to know the truth so I can make an informed decision, all right? I don't care that I need to pivot and change. If I figure out what I'm doing is the wrong thing, I want to be doing the right thing. And so I came to learn a few things, Dan, and it turns out that what the mainstream narrative tells us about how to be healthy is almost the opposite. And so for 3 years of this healing journey, I eliminated all plants out of my diet and operated on a purely animal protein-only diet. known as carnivore. Some people might call it keto, but don't be too caught up in whatever.
And so people don't think it was just your discovery. Who taught you the significance of changing your diet? Where was the expert? We're not supposed to seek opinion. We seek counsel. We need to seek the true sources of truth, not just somebody's opinion or the fake news. So take us to that spot before you continue.
So that was the second interview that Joe Rogan had, right? He interviewed a guy, Dr. Sean Baker, who's an orthopedic surgeon, a war hero. He operated on, you know, Iraqis and U.S. Soldiers that had been blown apart and had this amazing, you know, he was one of the guys in charge of the trigger for the nuclear bombs and stuff. Like, he was a reputable guy, and he used it to heal his autoimmune disease, right? He had diverticulitis or one of these other ones. And he's now 56. He's a world record indoor rowing, like Concept 2 indoor rowing, and a natural athlete. He's also a world champion powerlifter. And he's literally eating basically beef, salt, eggs, chicken, and some shellfish, right? And I remember watching this, and you're probably listening to this going, that's bollocks. That is absolute bollocks. I thought the same thing. And then I started learning about it because it was very interesting. And then and at one point, I started to try it. Now, let me share this with you, Dan. I'm 50. I'm 42 now. And when I was 38, in May of 2018, I went from running 3 miles, which is my longest ever distance, to 26 miles a week later. And then I completed my first 60-miler trail run on 27 kilometers of sand 12 weeks after that. And I've since completed 3 60-mile ultra marathons. And in July last year, I ran a 30-miler on zero sugar, zero carbs. I had a ribeye, half a gallon of homemade bone broth with liver and spleen in it, 9 slices of Jarlsberg cheese, that beautiful Irish cheese, and about 10 teaspoons of salt. Now, you might be listening to that, Dan, thinking, that's impossible. Well, I'm sitting here to tell you right now.
When you die, if we cremate your body, we'll never get the flame to go out.
I'm coming in hot, baby. I'm coming in hot.
What happened? Teach us about this carnivore diet. Teach us, I mean, high sodium. Yeah, let's just down some salt. That's against everything that everyone says. We go eat Chinese. Oh, it's too salty. I can taste the sodium. It's going to make my body inflamed.
So, talk to us. This is a great question, and you know the podcast would never be long enough to explain all the nuances of it. But basically, the fundamental is all autoimmune diseases start in the gut. All right, the fiber is a non-essential nutrient in the human body. All right, that is proven. You can prove me otherwise. These are not my thoughts. These are the thoughts of people far smarter than I in the space, with PhD. I've had Nobel Prize laureates on the show. I'm talking to some reputable people here, right? And so when you remove the fiber out of your gut and you remove the things that are causing all the aggravation and the inflammatory response, which is the key, and so you bring your body to a state where it's not inflamed, guess what? You sleep better. What happens when you sleep better? You heal faster. All right, so my progression for that running, I've not been able to find anything anywhere on the internet about anyone progressing that quickly, right? And what they talk about using like a year and a half to plan for these ultra runs, right? This is 2,000 meters, so like 5,000 feet of elevation we're running. Like, this isn't a jog around the track. And it's miraculous. But when you understand the science of the 9 key amino acids that exist in animal, you know, in ribeye steak, the body needs that to produce everything. When you burn your body fat, you're burning ketones as fuel. Ketones have these amazing properties that create human growth hormones and stem cells and all the stuff that allows the body to be in a place of homeostasis, right? It's not what's in the food that's the problem. It's not the food that's the problem. It's what's on the food. And I'm not...
As our friend Gary Brecka teaches... We have to look and discover what we're eating is eating. Even when it comes to beef, when you're in a carnivore diet, is it grass-fed beef or are they just injected with hormones? steroids from someplace else. So, yeah, let's talk a little teeny bit about the quality of the carnivore diet, not just going down to a grocery store and buying some hunk of meat, but you actually go to a Whole Foods or a Sprouts or take pride in the quality of the ingredients you're also eating.
So this is a really important point, okay, because a lot of people will be screaming out, and they do, how I can't afford that, right? Now, that's a negative self-talk issue that we can talk about another episode, but here's the thing, Dan. A cheap cut of beef at the supermarket, nutritionally and bioavailability, which is really important, is infinitely better than the most nutritious organic vegetable that ever exists, all right? 99% of all the plants that grow on planet Earth cannot be eaten, all right? 1% are. 99% of all the animal protein grown on Earth can be eaten. There's a lesson in that, right? And so don't get caught up, right? Eat the best you can afford. But if you were to ask me for one, if I had to give one nugget, it's to remove all refined seed oils out of your diet. I'm talking about soybean, rice bran, safflower, canola, all, and it's in everything. It's in this country, it's mainly GMO crops. If you don't know about this stuff, it's all doused in pesticides that are known carcinogens and are banned in most countries in Europe. So how do I do it? I just eliminate most
even
of that.
Even most of the highest brand vitamins available, B12, has cyanide in it. If you look at the ingredients and the FDA approves this stuff for us to consume, we immediately threw away every single bottle of B12 vitamins, and now we're looking for the D3 quality, Gary Brecka recommendation of Thorne. That's the product manufacturer, Thorne, Thorne, for the highest quality, at least vitamin D3, vitamin B12.
So this is a really interesting sort of segue. What's really high in B12? Well, it's red meat, right?
If you get the right B12, that's the point, the good B12.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about
not the manufactured B12.
Oh, I'm talking about, yeah, the real beef, right?
Absolutely.
And the beautiful thing about beef and sheep and ruminant animals, you know, and a lot of the animals that are shot in the wild, deer and that kind of thing, beef and sheep have four-chamber stomachs. And because of that process, they're able to chelate, which is, to detoxify a lot of the toxins they take in. So even if they're eating a lot of glyphosate corn meal, then they can, most of it doesn't come through, if any. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you cannot afford, I know some people that get McDonald's burger patties. That's the healthiest thing at McDonald's, apart from it would be over the bottled water. The burger patties. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As a comparison to eating tofu or some other garbage, right? Eat what you want, but know the truth. Eat what you want, but know the truth. You don't have to take my advice or take my word for this stuff, right? Go out and do your own digging. This is 6 years. I've read nearly 600 books. I can't tell you how many thousand hours of podcasts and other articles that I've read. I became insatiable, Dan, and I never finished school. I never went to college. I got no qualifications in any of these subjects, which means I can't be struck off any registrar as well, which is handy, incidentally.
And you you epitomize Jim Rohn's famous quote, formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. And we owe it to ourselves to do our own investigation. Don't take anybody's word for it. Check out the quality of the credibility of these doctors, these physicians from Johns Hopkins and these research scientists who go against the fake news, who go against the status quo, and get educated on your own. Find out what is truth and then follow the truth. That's why I'm so impressed with you and so attracted to you and your integrity. You've done it. You're the one who's doing it. You're not just teaching us what you know. You're teaching us how you live, what you've done, who you really are. That's the credibility source and the reason why we seek podcasts and check out the source of truth. Keep going.
There's one other thing that's really damn important. My mental health went through the roof. And when you understand how ketone bodies work. I spoke about before, when you burn body fat, there's a ketone body. There's one part of that called alpha-hydroxybutyrate. Now, you don't need to know this stuff, but AHB is this this enzyme or molecule or something, right? There's a subset of that that develops into gamma-hydroxybutyrate, GHB. You might have heard GHB is the date rape drug. Fantasy, right? The body creates these this amount of, and I was experiencing euphoria on these runs. I haven't touched, this like 6 years sober from for alcohol, drugs, and gambling's longer, right? I get high off these runs, and I would burst into tears. These like of tears of joy at time, and I believe that my body was burning through the stored trauma that was in my fat cells. Fat cells store toxins, right? This is only a hypothesis and a theory. It needs to be fact-checked, I'm sure. But I believe that as I was burning and losing all that weight, right, my body was chelating all of those fat cells and the trauma was being released, and I would just guttural weeping, Dan. Guttural, as I'm running along. And no shirt, mind you. And people must have been looking at me going, who's this guy? You're like 30 kilometers in. And it doesn't happen anymore. And so when you go
through... That happened to me on my junior prom day. Just saying, go ahead. Keep going.
And when you go through the adversity that I've endured over the last few years, you know, my wife and I have gone through 16 consecutive miscarriages, including two ectopics, right? My business, I nearly went bankrupt four times in 2019. We fled our home country of Australia because we were treated as second-class citizens last year. I got out via Germany and I got out via Russia. Like, we left with the shirts on our back and a suitcase. And do I look like or sound like someone who's grappling with life in a way that he can't handle it right now?
Absolutely not. So mental health. So your recovery began in the head or your recovery began in the gut?
Well, the head really, when you think about the knowledge that I acquired. And then I very quickly realized that if I was to have success in the head, the gut and the body had to be in the best place to heal. And that is really what I'm very intuitive, Dan, and I believe, I don't need a scientist to fact check or verify this stuff. I can show you my medical records, by the way, which incidentally are that of Tony Stark in Iron Man, right? My GP last year high-fived me and said, you're the healthiest patient I've ever had. Cholesterol, C-reactive protein, DEXA scans, like the whole kit and caboodle, right? Given what I did to my body, it's miraculous. But if you put your body in a position where it's healing, all the other stuff is going to get way better because it's lifestyle, stress, and environment. And if you can manage the body first, your ability to handle the other two is infinitely easier.
So when you were in my family room in my basement, you asked me a question that I'd been asked 1,000 times. We ask everybody. So where do you want to be 5 years from now? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? And I kind of pontificated on, you know, I'm not going to ever retire. I'm refired. And, you know, I'm called to be this speaker. And I love going on stages. And that's just my calling. And I reversed the question to you, and you said, I'm going to live till I'm 150. And I thought, yeah, this is an Australian joke. And you didn't smile at all. And you said, yeah, you believe you can live to be 150 years old. So a dear friend of mine, colleague Lee Steinberg, you know, they made the movie Jerry Maguire about this guy, the most famous and successful sports agent in the world. He's investing big money in going in to, you know, Mexico, Panama, wherever they can legally give us stem cells. And he's investing in a compound in Florida where they're helping with his mind, strength of his mind. And I can't even eloquently talk about what that process is, but he spends 6 days and he believes he's going to add, he's 73 years old, he believes he's going to add at least another 30 years to his life, feeling so in shape now, so fully alive, so healthy, mentally and emotionally and physically. So there's something to this that the FDA and the physicians in the U.S. poo-poo. Explain to us what you mean you believe you can live to be 150 and why.
If you were to talk to my wife, Anna, she would say 450. But I'm just throwing a number out there that's not so ridiculous that it doesn't polarize too many people. Because there's no reason why that couldn't go longer.
You know, from a spiritual perspective, it doesn't matter if you believe the Bible to be the Word of God. If you look at the years lived of the ancient prophets that started with Adam all the way to Methuselah, 700 years old, 750 years old, 500 years old. And some people want to discount the validity of that Bible story because they're like, that's no way. But if you think about what they ate with no pesticides, what they did with mental health, with spirituality, what you're teaching us is that, yeah, if we can just recover what they knew centuries ago and understand the power of natural health and natural medicine, that there's a real possibility for us to extend our life expectancy. Go on, baby, go on.
Well, it's funny you talk about this, Dan. I've got a book arriving today via Jeff Bezos, Amazon Prime, called The Phoenix Protocol. And this guy, the guy who wrote it, is an American guy. He's got a channel on YouTube. I presume it's called Phoenix Protocol as well. This guy does dry fasting. Now, for those who don't know what dry fasting, you heard of intermittent fasting, all right? It's periods of time where you're not eating, which might be 8 hours. This guy, no food or water, and he does this for 7 days, 7 to 8 days. And you talk about stem cells, and there's a wonderful episode on, again, Joe Rogan's podcast, where he interviewed, I think it was Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson's father received golden stem cells in Panama. It was only Panama and New Zealand or Panama and Canada, the only two countries in the world at the time.
My son-in-law daughter did, with a very famous, very reputable, honest, full of integrity attorney by the name of Leo Buse. Look him up. And he swears by the stem cell. And they flew down on his jet to Panama and just days after he had a heart attack and he had full recovery. Unbelievable stories, eyewitness accounts of the significance of this Panama operation with stem cells.
So golden stem cells are damn expensive. You yes. want to know what else creates stem cells? Fasting. So I've done, the longest I've been, Dan, is a 96-hour wet fast. So that was just water and electrolytes, so potassium, sodium, and magnesium.
How do you take those into your body, just as supplement, or just do you in eat, water. Eat something?
No. It was just water and diluted in water.
I mean, powder magnesium.
Yeah, powder. You can buy. There's a great brand called Element LMNT that make a really high quality product. I use them for my distance running because when you're a low carb athlete, you do require more salt because the body dumps the metabolic water a lot faster. And if you drink a lot of coffee like I do, having excessive caffeine can mix up the balance a little bit. So, but the dry fasting is really interesting. I've done 1 day of dry fasting, so nil by mouth. And there's hard dry fasting where you don't touch any water and soft dry fasting where you immerse yourself in the ocean and whatever. So this guy does 7 day, and he's documented, he's done it half a dozen times. He's in his 70s, he looks great. And when you get to that level of autophagy where you're burning your body fat as fuel, you create human growth hormone through the roof, you're creating brand new stem cells, you're creating new gut lining, you're creating all this new body internally. So I'll report back. I'm going to set aside the time. It's one of those things where you do sleep quite a lot. It can be quite, you know, the sleep is the recovery, the healing. You don't want to be doing this while trying to record podcasts. So I'll keep you posted with my progress. I would like to do a 7 day, and if I need to build up to that, because, you know, with some of this stuff, there might be some scar tissue that's causing these miscarriages. And, you know, I've done damage to my body through all the partying and all the other stuff that I'd like to knock it on the head. And let's see how good I look after a 7 day dry fast, you know?
Yeah, but then I definitely won't have you on my podcast for a second episode because I don't want you to lower my self-esteem when you show up even better looking than you are right now. Okay, as we wind down our time, let's talk about your book, Bet on You. Forward written by our mutual friend and colleague, Les Brown.
Thank you, Les.
I want you to share that story, which is the ultimate entrepreneurial story, because
we both know that relationships is the real, it's the real commerce. It's the real coinage in our society, that nothing occurs until a relationship exists, transference of trust. And start with the Les Brown deal, and don't reveal our secrets that we've talked about as far as phone calls. But take us all the way to the lake in Austin, Texas, where you saw Joe Rogan out on his backyard, and you said, hey, yo, and you threw him a book. So start with Les Brown. Well, as we wind down our time together, I want everyone who's an entrepreneur of any kind to listen to this story, because the worst someone can say is no. And Zig Ziglar reminds us that sale does not begin until the customer says no. Take us on your journey, brother.
So I know that you hung out with Muhammad Ali because you just went up to his house and said, hey, Muhammad, what's up? I mean, do you want to watch some throwback movies of you guys, of you kicking someone's butt? And I love that about you, Dan. There's so many similarities. And I know you've written that we feel like we've known each other forever. And I think there has been a previous life experience.
Absolutely.
So 2020 happened. I was starting my entrepreneurial journey, forced into it via the lockdowns. And the only way to get my voice out was through a podcast. And I created the podcast, Become Your Own Superhero. Had about 9 or 10 guests on. And I reached out and got Les Brown to agree to come on my podcast. Now, he didn't know that I had 10 subscribers. Had he asked, I would have told him, Dan, but he didn't, so I didn't. He comes on via Zoom, and I recorded this. I recorded this moment. And I said, hey, Les, what do you think of the name of the show, Become Your Own Superhero? And he was so brilliant. For those who don't know Les Brown, get on YouTube after this and just go Les Brown. You'll know what I'm talking about. And he just encapsulated everything that I hoped everyone would ever think when they heard the name Become Your Own Superhero. Man, his voice is like chocolate. And I was so enamored by this response, Dan, that I just verbally diarrheaed my story of transformation to him, unrequited. And he just sat there with the patience of a saint and listened to me as I just told him about how I'd conquered all this stuff. And in August, I'd be celebrating at that time 4 years of sobriety. And I finish and he goes, congratulations, Laban. I said, thanks, Les. He goes, do you have a book? And I go, no. He goes, if you're going to be a speaker, you need a book for credibility. And he goes, who was the most influential person in your life when you were 5? And I went, ugh. There was some unresolved anger at that point. I was like, oh, my mother. Despite her many flaws, she had to be my mum. He's like, what attributes did you get from your mother? I was like, oh, man, she was tenacious and unconditionally loving and, like, fearless and all this stuff. He's writing the stuff down. He looks up at me, Dan. He goes, Laban, this is a God moment. He said, I'm going to show you how to monetize your passion. And for the next 10 minutes, Dan, he reads back to me the blueprint for this book called Bet on You. He said, Laban, you're going to write the book. You're going to turn the book into a keynote. You're going to turn the keynote into a 3-day retreat. And even if you muck this up, you're going to make $200,000 in the next 12 months. And I'm going to interview you on my show with 4 million followers. Never having written anything in my life apart from a shopping list, I said, Les, if you're going to write the foreword to my book, I'll have it to you by June 30, 2020. And in 6 weeks, in a deep carnivore diet, incidentally, I wrote 30,000 words of the first draft of Bet on You and completely changed my life in the process. And the story of Joe Rogan, I was staying in Lake Austin earlier this year with a dear friend of ours, John Mitchell and his wife, Ginger. And
that's not just a shabby neighborhood. I mean, sprinkle the conversation with, like, drop 3 or 4 big names because we've been there and that's a pretty amazing place.
Well, Sandra Bullock lives down there. Elon Musk bought a place. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And Joe Rogan lived there, right? And they knew where he lived. And the way that the river system works, they're like, let's go and throw a copy of your book on Joe Rogan's back lawn. Because you heard me talk about him earlier, right? His podcast really saved my life. It did. Or expedited the healing process in a way that I can't even quantify. So I wrote a really lovely note inside the front cover and put my phone number in there and put it in a Ziploc thing. And we're cruising up the river. And I'm just going to throw this on the back lawn and we'll be done. And anyway, we're getting closer to this dock. And as we're getting closer and closer, a figure of a large, stocky man comes into existence, standing there with a dog, Marshall, and his daughter, and it's Joe Rogan. We haven't prepared for this. I'm good on my feet. And I'm like, hey, Joe. And everyone can open carry in Austin, Texas, right? So who knows? He could have shot at us, but he didn't. He's like, yeah. I go, I've got a present for you. He's like, how have you got a present for me? I said, don't worry. It's a book. It's not anthrax. Anna goes, you saved his life. He's like, I didn't save his life. How did I save his life? And we had this wonderful 90-second exchange. It was a little bit awkward. And I threw my book, and it went, landed in the bottom of the boat where him and his friend were, and completely broke the glass ceiling in my mind of what I thought was possible. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't really care. I'm not tied to any outcome. But when you go around calling yourself the world's best courage coach, Dan, how would the world's best courage coach conduct himself?
That's a good way to start winding down our time. So in 3 minutes, let me put you on the hot seat. We talked about this in my basement. What would you say to somebody? What would you drive 5 hours one way to say to somebody for free? And if you had 1 hour to live, bro, what's your message? What would you say to the world?
No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to save you.
No Calvary.
So it's you. It's on you. And the greatest suffering is now your greatest superpower. You just need to see it as that.
The teacher. Let every experience in life be your teacher. Very cool. So how do we find a copy of your book, Bet on You? I've read it. It really is incredible. And the eloquence of language baffles me that you actually sat down and wrote it, and that was the true you that came out. So the sophisticated elegance, the polished professionalism is really who you really are, even though you didn't know that your entire life. And now that was another page that you turned in your life saying, wait a minute, not only have I recovered and faced my fears, not only have I become a serial entrepreneur, but now you know you're a writer, you're a philosopher, you're a closet psychologist, and I'm so proud to know you. So how do we find your book, and how do we keep in touch with you?
Well, for those who enjoy my dulcet tones, I recorded the Audible in a studio in Berlin last year, which was exciting, with a guy, Eric Wittenberg, who's one of the top vocal talents in Germany, who recorded Elton John's book in German. I don't know how that goes. So it's all over Amazon in every country that has Amazon. But for our US audience, if you text the word courage, C-O-U-R-A-G-E, to 33777, then you can register for some upcoming virtual events, which we talk about a course in courageousness. And I'm, you know, if you're listening to this episode for the first time and you haven't, go out and subscribe. Leave a review for this podcast, because when you do that, you give people that don't know about this an opportunity to hear this unbelievable work that Dan is doing. And the fact that Donny Osmond was a former guest and then I've come on is just tickled me pink.
Yep, yin so. And yang. That's it, baby. When you have Osmond and Ditchburn, you don't need anybody else. You know, look for Laban's amazing opportunities to join his tribe, to enroll in some personal coaching, some high-end, high-performance mindset shift that will literally change your life physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. And we're brainstorming on some programs that we could actually put together and co-venture with some of the bigger names on the planet to change your life and make you everything, or invite you to become everything you were born to be. Thank you, Laban. I love you, good brother. And this has been such an honor. This is episode whatever number, but it should be number one on your list. Again, Laban Ditchburn, my Australian mate, two brothers from a different mother. Thanks, good brother. God bless.
Love you, man. Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed on the Power Players podcast do not necessarily reflect those of KUTV or Sinclair Broadcast Group.